marching on the borders we pass, striking about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, or fighting and it's lost and died to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country horse, you're walking on the fighting side of me. I read about some squirrely guy that claims that he just don't believe in fighting. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Running down a way of life, or fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, believe it, let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country halls, you're walking on the fighting side of me. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Running down a way of life, or fighting in a fought and died to keep. If you don't love it, leave it, let this song that I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. That's the name of this program here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and of course, all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Lots to report tonight, and here's a Twitter from Mike Cernovich. He's a national security reporter, documentary filmmaker, and author, and he just exposed a rap by rapper XXXTentacion. Oh, yes. This is a Negro rapper has sparked outrage with his latest video showing him lynching a white child. Hip-hop artist XXXTentacion released the video in his latest track. Mike Cernovich says, why does the CEO of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, support videos depicting children, especially white children, being murdered? This is also being mentioned Dr. James Sanchez in Seattle, a good friend of mine, and he says the murder of a white child begins the rap video about Black Lives Matter, he points out that the ADL National, that's the Anti-Defamation League, is in charge of censoring conservatives on YouTube. We wonder if they endorse this video. Well, I think it's a good question, you know. Fair is fair, or does community standards only apply to, well, you know, white people? And that's criticism of minorities. In fact, I had an interesting example of that just a little bit earlier today. Over the weekend, I did a video with Brian Rue, and I'm going to play that video for you. And it was explaining our protests outside the offices of Ahmed Hassan. He's our, he's our Somali Muslim refugee, former immigration lawyer, and former president of the Canadian Somali Association. He's also an immigration minister. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you think he's guarding the border? Well, he isn't. Anyway, explaining our demonstration. Well, what I found interesting, very interesting indeed, is that when you click on this video on YouTube, you'll get a toll. You'll get a note, and it says certain features of this video have been disabled. In response to user reports, we have disabled some features such as comments, sharing, and suggested videos because this video contains content that may be inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. I don't doubt it is. So what? Notice the absolutely loosey-goosey weasel words that this video, and I'm going to play it for you, contains content that may be inappropriate. What is inappropriate? Don't know. Somebody didn't like it. Oh, it's inappropriate then. Okay. Inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. I'm sure it is offensive. I'm sure it's very offensive to Canada's immigration lobby. I'm sure it's very offensive to Haitian illegals. I'm sure it's very offensive to those who want to replace the white race in Canada. But so what? Almost any opinion is going to be offensive to some people. Anyway, just want you to hear what YouTube has. They didn't take it down completely, but they make it impossible for you to write a comment. Yeah, and
Welcome to Bravery Show. Today is September the 9th, 2017. My guest is Paul Fromm. We're going to talk about the ongoing immigration evasion across the Quebec border. So, Paul, what's the latest?
Well, the latest, Brian, is we had a very successful protest this afternoon, the 9th of September, outside the offices of Ahmed Hassan. Now, just in case you think he deals in magic carpets or something, no, he's our Minister of Immigration. Let's see, what were his qualifications? He was he's a Somali, he's a Muslim, he's a so-called refugee. He was an immigration lawyer, and he was the head of the Canadian Somali Association. You think he's standing on guard for Canada? Well, I believe in being there. Give the guy the benefit of the doubt. So when the trust fund kid, our Prime Minister, appointed him back in January, I thought, well, okay, doesn't look good, but let's see what this guy can do. Well, he's done precisely nothing. Actually, he's done worse than nothing. The invasion is ongoing, and all he does is look silly and shine his bald head to the TV cameras, and they're going to have another consultation in Montreal. This was about a week ago. Well, they had their consultation of various cabinet ministers, and they said they were going to monitor the situation. Well, what does that mean? It means continue to do nothing but while you scratch your rear ends. Because some people, when you hear the word term monitor, actually think it means to do something. It means nothing. It means you're going to keep your eyes open. We don't need to watch the situation. We need to stop the situation.
Yeah, do something about it.
So we had this protest outside he's the Minister of Immigration, outside his constituency office in north central Toronto, and we got a good turnout, and we had some really hardcore signs, build a wall, come up, build the wall. They're open fields, the illegals come across them, and we've got this disgraceful situation of the Mounties, instead of pushing them back, help them with their suitcases. Some of which contain kiddie porn. They've already arrested a few people for kiddie porn. These are not the wretched of the earth. They come well-dressed. You take a look at that luggage in TV or a newspaper photos. Hey, better luggage than mine, but I tote the books around it, and many of them come with a fair deal of cash. So these are opportunities. So we want to make the point that the government has, particularly Ahmed Hassan, he's the Minister of Integration, they have signally failed to do what the government must do. And the government has only a few tasks. One is to secure its country's borders. If you don't control your borders, well, you're not really an independent country. If others can come and go as they please, you're not an independent country. So national defense, securing the borders, that's a key role of government. The government fails to do that. Meanwhile, they're preaching about gay rights and LGBTQ, XYZ, and all this other nonsense. That's not their role. Their role, one of their key roles, is to secure the border. They fail. And I blame not only Hassan, I blame, of course, primarily I blame the trust fund kid, because it's his signal earlier this year, in January, when he said, Canada welcomes refugees of all religions. This was a big kick in the testicles to Donald Trump, who has several executive orders, had a prohibition list of seven or so largely Muslim countries that produce a lot of terrorists. Anyway, the world got the message and has been pouring in ever since. In just 2 months, July and August, over 7,000 trooped across the Quebec border, a few across the Manitoba border, a few in British Columbia. Now, the other agency tasked with protecting the borders is, let me think, the Army. The Army isn't supposed to be peacekeeping elsewhere. That's a bonus, maybe. But no, the primary role of any country's armed forces is to protect that country. Or we're being invaded. Yeah. Well, what's our Army doing? Well, the moment we're being invaded, and this would be 2 Sundays ago, our trust fund kid, the Prime Minister, was cavorting in his probably fourth or fifth gay pride parade of the year. He was in Ottawa. And with him, prancing along with the LGBTQ, otherwise sexually mixed up group, was General Jonathan Vance, the head of the Canadian Armed Forces. So, our chief soldier, instead of being down there where the invasion is taking place, is doing the gay pride thing in Ottawa. We've got a morally destitute leadership. So, what we were saying to Ahmed Hassan, who has the funniest, pokiest little constituency office. Most MPs have a storefront type setup with a big banner over there, so-and-so, a member of parliament. He's got one tucked away in an industrial area in a building that has the constituency offices of a provincial MPP or MLA and a city councillor. And it's only with a magnifying glass that you can even find a sign that says that somewhere in that little building is the office of Ahmed Hassan. Well, I guess if I was selling out my country, I'd be ashamed too. I wouldn't want a very big office.
Yeah, me
too. So our demands today were build defense, enforce the law, keep the illegals out. And so one of the secondary arguments was this, that these illegals cost. First of all, they're coming in because of a legal, it's just the government is willfully playing silly bugger. We've got a treaty with the United States, which is a safe country treaty, and we say if somebody comes to America and wants to make a refugee claim, they have to make it in America. They can't come across the border to Canada and welfare shop. Or similarly, if somebody arrives in Canada, that person must make their refugee claim here, not slip across the border and try to do it there. Oh, because we recognize each other as being reasonably fair countries. Okay, if the illegals, the mostly Haitians, were to come to a regular border crossing and say, well, I want to make a refugee claim, they would have to be turned back. Now, they might be held for a day or two and then turned back, but there'd be no doubt about it, they've got to go back. Don't unpack
that. Why would they be turned back?
Because if they want to make a refugee claim, they've got to make it where they are, in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these are all coming up from the United States. So what the scamorama is this. They don't cross at a border crossing. They just walk across a field, maybe 100 yards down. We ought to be saying, no, back you go. But no, what we're saying is, well, we don't know where you came from. Come on. There's only one possible place. They came across the border from the United States. But no, the law is an ass. And the government willfully refuses to clarify. And so we have to pretend, well, we don't know where they're from. So because we don't know where they're from, they can make a refugee claim. Well, of course we know where they're from. They're from the United States. Many of them still have the taxi receipt that they took from the bus stop to get to the border. I mean, it's a organized scam.
Yeah.
And it's quite clear that the government is in active collusion with these people. Now, this is just the first wave. These are the Haitians, and they may, mostly the Haitians, the American government said that sometime, I think later this year, they may have to go back to Haiti, because they were given about 7 years after the big earthquake. Temporary status of a large number of Guatemalans and El Salvadorians will expire early next year. We will see, there are at least 350,000 of these people. We will see hordes of these people. Now, what our government is desperately trying to do is to try to say, well, you're not necessarily guaranteed refugee status if you sneak in here illegally. So they've sent some Haitian MP down to the little Haiti in Miami. That's before the storm hit, but to try to tell them, well, now, some of the social media is exaggerating a little bit. Similarly, they've sent a guy named Pablo Rodriguez. Now, you may think he's a baseball player or something, but no, Pablo is actually the House Whip. He's the Liberal Party House Whip. So Pablo got sent down to Los Angeles, where he's doing the Latino media to tell them, well, especially the Guatemalans and El Salvadorians, well, just because you sneak into Canada illegally doesn't necessarily mean you'll be able to stay. Well, that's true, not necessarily. But the much stronger message would be that if you come into Canada illegally, you'll be sent back. If you come a second, we'll fingerprint you. If you come illegally, you should not be able to get in for 10 years, even as a visitor. If you come back again, we're going to put you in jail. Well, maybe we ought to build a jail up on Baffin Island for these people. Nice, cold, unpleasant place. And if you don't respect yourself, nobody else will respect you. Well, we made it quite clear that we're the proverbial good time had by one and all. And why should third worlders respect us? Hey, we don't respect ourselves. This is what's going on. And Brian, there's been a very interesting reaction since you and I talked on these matters maybe a few months ago. There have been protests across the country. In June, there were protests in Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Ottawa. There was a big protest in Quebec City a couple of Sundays ago by a French-Canadian nationalist group called the Meute, or that's not the month, that's the Meute, and it means the Wolf Pack. And they're strong French-Canadian nationalists, and they put on a great demo. There's been a group in Quebec called the Québécois de Souche, which means old stock, old stock backers. And they've been putting up signs, no way will we become a minority. No, we don't buy into multiculturalism. No, we don't want to be swamped. Well, there was a protest in Vancouver a couple weeks ago where you were one of the stars. And I was a bit embarrassed by that. No, not by you. I thought you did. You were first rate. But some of the organizers were a little flaky. First of all, I think they promised more than they could deliver. Then the mayor of the city denounced them. Your mayor, Gregor Robinson, with his Chinese rock star girlfriend and her mother facing criminal charges in China. it's a great country, isn't it? So anyway, he denounced it as racist. It hadn't even occurred yet, but it's racist. And this is, of course, part of a pattern. There was a protest in London, Ontario, a couple weekends ago. The mayor and city council voted that no racists or people with an ideology contrary to that of the city of London, whatever that is, I didn't know the city of London had an ideology, but would be allowed to use city property. And so that was it was reasonably well attended protest. But the pattern we're seeing is this. First of all, there are a lot of protests going on right across the country. And that's good. That's all thanks to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has given a lot of courage to people. Secondly, you know, the approach of the establishment seems to be hysterical denunciation. Mayors denounce the protests. You know, Mayor Gregor Robertson said there was no room for racism in Vancouver. Well, the protests have not even occurred yet. And he's denouncing people. We don't want this country being invaded as racists. The Premier of Quebec denounced the protest in Quebec. And he was disgusted. The Mayor of Montreal, a former immigration minister, Denis Coderre, denounced, he said, there's no room for racism in Montreal. Well, the protest wasn't even in Montreal, but okay. And similarly, across the country, the establishment is in a blind panic because the polls show a solid majority of Canadians don't want these invaders. And even in the mainstream press, they're saying that as the Liberal members met in members of Parliament met in Kelowna a few days ago, one of the topics on the agenda is that people are very upset about a couple of things. One of them is the $10.5 million payout to Omar Khadr, the terrorist. And another is the side of the fact that our borders are open. We are being invaded. And the government does nothing other than we're monitoring the situation very closely. So I want to praise all the people from coast to coast who come out and protested. I encourage you to protest more. Also, go after your elected officials. And this is what I will be saying when I make a presentation in London, Ontario, in a few weeks. I'm going to say to the mayor and council, you arrogant people, your role is to shut up and listen to us. You're not our masters, you're our servants. So listen, boy, shut up, listen to the people. Rather than lecturing us, you know, waving their fingers at racism, and racism won't be tolerated. In the end, these traitors will be swept into the garbage bin of history, and they won't be tolerated anymore. And there really is a growing anger across this great dominion at the betrayal. It's absolutely obvious that the trust fund kid is far more comfortable prancing around with LBGTQ trannies, etc., including a number of shots of him recently with women who are basically topless, for hearts painted on their nipples. Now, you know, if a normal male, I say normal male because Justin calls himself a feminist, but if a normal male politician went to a kitty bar and posed with a topless girl, well, oh my God, you know, the sky would fall in these days. But here we are, not at a private bar, but here's the prime minister of our country prancing down the street with half-naked people. Come on. I mean, I don't have any problem with nudity. That's not the point. But he's the prime minister.
Well, he's the prime minister of Canada. It doesn't look good, especially staring down like that. I see the photos of him.
It's disgusting. I mean, I can't imagine the prime minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, posing with strippers. I can't imagine some of our great former prime ministers like William Lyons, Mackenzie King, or John Diefenbaker. You know, come on.
He's got a wife and three kids. Doesn't look good for Canada.
That's disgusting. Anyway, that's kind of an update on the immigration theme, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Very good, Paul. Thanks for the update, and I appreciate your words. I definitely agree with you. Thanks. Okay, see you next time.
Thank you.
And this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, that was the controversial video I did. And it has, it's been banned by YouTube, but you won't be able to make comments on it because, according to YouTube, may be inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. So you can't comment or share, and there are some suggested videos on this, and apparently you can't access them either. But you can watch this video, at least while it's still up. This is the sort of censorship that, you know, I think we must relentlessly expose as going on. Well, it's an interesting item in today's paper and National Post, and normally don't particularly get too bestirred about ethnic quarrels in other countries, but there's some problems up in the northwest province of Burma. With the Rohingya Muslims, and about 300,000 of them have fled into Bangladesh because, they're not very popular, and they have a terrorist movement that has been attacking some of the troops of the Burmese government. Well, not too surprising. The Burmese have struck back, and this is in Rakhine State. Now, the Burmese government says that the Rohingyas are, in some cases, burning their own huts for international attention, and they certainly have gotten quite an international coterie behind them. Now, I don't pretend to know whether that allegation is true or not, and I actually don't particularly care. A woman, a mother of six, there's some photos of two people that are alleged to be Hindus, who are also minority, who report that Rohingya were actually setting their own huts on fire. This Hindu woman told reporters that her family had been attacked by Rohingya. She referred to them by a derogatory word for Muslims, as Kalars. When we were about to have our meal, the Kalars entered our village and started burning our houses. They were holding machetes and spears and started shouting, "We will shower with the Hindus' blood." So we ran away from our homes. If there are Muslims, the problems will never end. But if Kalars are not here anymore, it will be more peaceful. Now, these are Hindus, but the majority population in Burma are Muslims. why do I bring this up? Well, I bring this up because it shows what should really be no surprise to any race realist. Racial groups, or in this case religious groups, don't like one another. The Hindus who are a minority, and the Buddhists who are a majority, have problems with the Muslims, the Muslim Rohingyas, who they refer to as Bangladeshis, or Bengalis. They basically say that they don't belong in this country. Now, I don't want to get into the ins and outs of it, and as I say, I don't have a really strong opinion one way or the other. Suffice it to say, though, racial conflict is universal. So, rather than saying we ought to eliminate racism, racial preference is universal. A lot of people don't like Muslims in that part of the world for a variety of reasons. That's their opinion. That's their belief. The majority Buddhists don't like this what they consider to be a foreign Muslim minority. And the minority Hindus don't like them either. Now, again, without getting into who's right or wrong, and I, as I said, I don't really have a strong opinion. I mean, if I study the issue more, I might have a strong opinion, but I actually don't have a strong opinion. But what I do have a strong opinion about is this, that racial and religious conflict are inevitable. That's the way of the world. And there's no point pretending it isn't. And trying to dream up anti-racist policies basically just goes against nature. Fair enough, you can try to keep animosity down to a dull roar, I suppose. But maybe a far better proposition would be segregation. Or let's put it a little differently. Let's not bring in hordes of radically different people into our midst. Maybe that would make more sense. Well, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the funny side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. I'll be back in just a few minutes with more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada and the United States of America. I'm going to take in this short musical interlude. Why don't we listen to a tune by Merle Haggard? And it just doesn't get any better than this. Merle, America First.
And understanding the process is essential to making the right decision.
When we can get suppress this ad, yeah, there we go. That's Merle Haggard in America First. Here's another tune, very patriotic, from about a decade ago with Gretchen Wilson, a spirited lady from South Illinois, and with an assist in this by Merle Haggard.
Or a tank of gas. That's a family farm that's been in the family for over 100 years being sold.
They're concerned about the violence and the death.
It feels like I have, less money to spend on another deadly
day in Iraq as 11 U.S. soldiers.
It is a really country.
I'm for the lone man on the totem pole, and I'm for the underdog. don't get me started, cause I can get right. I'll make a fight for forefathers' plan.
That's right. And the world already knows where I stand.
And I'm for the Bible, and I'm for the flag.
Nothing wrong with the flag.
Nothing wrong with the working man. Me and no head. We're just some of many. Can't get no respect.
None.
Politically incorrect.
Politically incorrect.
That's Gretchen Wilson with an assist from Merle Haggard and Politically Incorrect. I'll play one more tune in this musical interlude, and it's a song by a very spirited performer, and her name is Lori Morgan, and this is What Part of No Don't You Understand? This is from the old Porter Wagner show.
Sir, if you don't mind, I'd rather be alone. From the moment I walked in tonight, you've been coming home. If I've told you once, I've told you twice, I'm just here. I'm not interested in romance. What you have in mind? What part of no don't you understand? Give her a mic. To put it plain and simple, I'm not into one night stands. I'll be glad.
Be glad to explain it if it's too hard to comprehend.
Roy Morgan. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Going to play a great talk by a good friend of mine. He's the genius who's behind the London Forum, Jez Turner, Jeremy Bedford Turner. London Forum is an extremely successful forum. Meets four or five times a year in London with speakers from all over the world of interest to nationalists. And I was privileged to be speak there several times. So this is Jez Turner, and it's Whites Won't Survive Without White Nationalism. This is Jeremy Bedford Turner, and Whites Won't Survive Without White Nationalism.
We'll help any way we can. If you want to help, we'll help with proofreading, we'll help with press releases, we'll even provide spokesmen if you want a spokesman, right? Our cause has very little money. The enemy have all the money. They make the money, they print the money. We have very little money. But what we do have is what our race has always been famous for. Brain power. Bravery, initiative, innovation, and above all, teamwork. It was what got us through the cold wastes of the north, through the ice age, through those dark winters. Teamwork, teamwork. This is Rorke's Drift. It's not time for bickering, it's not time for arguing, you know, oh, you're wearing the wrong uniform now, oh, you're doing this wrong. No, the Zulus are coming down those hills, and they're coming to kill us, you know, and worse even, you know. It's time for us to work together. It's time for us to fight Zulus. So I say this, let's make a beginning and let's start winning. Welcome to the London Forum!
And this is a very interesting, and we're kind of wondering where the rest of this video is. And we'll probably have to read this to you. It's probably longer than I can read tonight. I'm going to try to get this back. This is a video of a recent talk at the London Forum by Jez Turner. This is not the. We are having our problems tonight. We'll try to get this. This is Jez Turner, and Jez is being vilified, of course, as you might expect, as a neo-Nazi, and as he's being, of course, vilified also as a dangerous man. Usually when they run out of other complaints, they go on about dangerous and of course ideas are dangerous. I can well understand their concern. White nationalism or nationalism is a powerful weapon, and I'm going to try to get this back again about Jez Turner, and
Okay. We'll help any way we can. If you want to help, we'll help with proofreading. We'll help with press releases. We'll even provide spokesmen if you want a spokesman, right? Our cause has very little money. The enemy have all the money. They make the money. They print the money. We have very little money. But what we do have is what our race has always been famous for. Brain power, bravery, initiative, innovation, and above all, teamwork. It's what got us through the cold wastes of the north, through the ice age, through those dark winters. Teamwork, teamwork. This is Rorke Street. It's not time for bickering, it's not time for arguing, you know, oh, you're wearing the wrong uniform now, oh, you're doing this wrong. No, the Zulus are coming down those hills, and they're coming to kill us, you know, and worse even, you know. It's time for us to work together. It's time for us to fight Zulus. So I say this, let's make a beginning and let's start winning. Welcome to the London Forum!
Well, I think this was not the whole video that was promised, but it is also, though, very effective. What Jez is trying to get across is that we are in desperate straits right now, desperate situation. This is not the time for bickering. We are being invaded. by the Third World. We are being betrayed at the highest offices, the highest levels of our society by an establishment that desperately hates us. We have much of the media, or almost all the media, controlled by Zionists, who basically want the destruction of the white race, or our replacement. Either way, they're cool with that. They want our people replaced. It's that simple. And they can't be rid of us fast enough. And that's through immigration. And they will vilify anybody who stands in the way of their agenda. And they will say, you're a Nazi, you're a, you know, the usual stuff. You're a Nazi, you're a white supremacist, whatever that is. That is the way that they will try to handle us. What we have to do is to be prepared to fight back. We have to be prepared to resist these defamations and lies. I'm going to leave that topic for a moment because I think there's another interesting item that has arisen in all of this, and it's in the ongoing case of before the British Columbia Human Rights Commission of Bill Watcott. And Watcott is being complained against by a notorious self-promoting transgendered item by the name of Auger. He was born Ronan Auger. He now says he is Morgan Auger. He's transgendered. Well, of course, I'm not even supposed to call him he. The tribunal insists on calling him she. Yes, in the kingdom of insanity. anyway. CAFE won intervener status last week. We were wanting to intervene on behalf of Bill Watcott. Bill Watcott is a street preacher. He has been taking strong stands against abortion, against the homosexual agenda. He's lost his business but due to homosexual pressure in Saskatchewan. He has been harassed by huge threatened class action legal suits by other elements of the homosexual lobby. He has paid a huge price for witnessing to the Christian beliefs. Well, over this transgendered creature, OJ, ran in the last provincial election in British Columbia, and he was out of the closet. He was a self-promoting transgendered. He also made presentations in favor of more privileges for the transgendered at various government bodies. So he was Mr. transgendered. Prominent transgendered person in Vancouver. So he ran for the Socialist Party, and although the trend was in the socialist direction, he lost. Well, he was very unhappy because he was very likely going to be the first transgendered. Yeah, member of the provincial legislature in British Columbia. Well, that did not come to pass. So Bill Watcott had handed out about 1,500 leaflets in the riding in which Mr. OJ ran, and whether these leaflets had any effect or not, I've discussed this before, and it's certainly a matter of some speculation. But OJ said that Watcott's leaflets had humiliated him. I would think putting on lipstick and affecting a woman's hairstyle and a relatively low-cut dress. I don't think Mr. Watcott did anything in terms of humiliating him. Anyway, he wounded his dignity, and oh, boo-hoo-hoo. Well, this is a free speech issue, in my opinion. It's also an issue of political rights. It's, I would say, not only the right, it's the duty of people to participate in the political process. And as Mr. Watcott found the behavior of Mr. OJ objectionable, I think he had every right to participate and to put out the leaflet he did, criticizing him. And to make a long story short, what he said was this: if OJ was born a male, has fathered two children, considers himself a female, if he can't, and this is contrary to the law of God and contrary to nature, if he can't get this sex right, what sort of a representative can he be? Now, that's a perfectly valid point to make. Anyway, the latest in this case, and I'm sure it won't be the last, most upset letter from the lawyer for OJ, a woman by the name of Susanna Alivato Quayle. And she wrote to the tribunal on Monday, Tuesday of this week, saying that she wanted part of the ruling of in regards to CAFE reworded, and she said, in the decision, OJ was born a male. This is incorrect. It's not set out in any of the complaint materials. Ms. OJ requested the sentence be removed, and that O'Shea is a transgendered woman. Should the tribunal require further evidence, O'Shea can provide a copy of its birth certificate, which is marked female. Later on, Ms. Alvarado Quayle has to correct that to say, well, actually, it's not birth certificate, it's a passport. That's not the same thing. Passports, of course, in some European countries, apparently O'Shea came from France originally, you can request whatever sex you want. It's a crazy old world, isn't it? Anyway, we objected strongly and said if it's not proper to ask the tribunal to edit its own judgment, or actually to change its own judgment. If there's an objection to that, well, then it ought to be the proper way to go about it is to seek judicial review. Well, the case goes on. Anyway, this is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time, and the show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever, which I am at the point of trying to find.
Must come down.
A trip to the grocery store or a tank.
And this is my signature song, the Maple Leaf Forever, if I could find it. We've had our AV troubles tonight, haven't we? This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.